Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. It's good to be with you today. And I want to start off by reading a scripture. We're going to just, you know, open up with a bit of a scripture this evening. And it says the following. Can you believe it, Yosef? I've now lost my scripture. There it is. Leviticus 23 verse 40 says, "Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches, and the boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh for 7 days." It also says that these are the appointed times of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, to present offerings by fire to Yahweh, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices, drink offerings, each day's matter on its own day. And so welcome to this time today that we're going to be together. I know that we are in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot season, and it's such a wonderful season. And you know, sometimes I know that it's quite difficult when a person is actually, you know, just living in this world that we live in. We're not living in this beautiful Israel of old, you know, this ancient Israel where we could go up and really celebrate all together. And how magnificent must that have been, Yosef, to just really, it was one of those pilgrim festivals where we all would go up and just build those booths, and how beautiful Jerusalem would look, and you know, just filled with all those beautiful sukkahs all over the show, and just us all fellowshipping together, and every night getting together and talking about the goodness of Yahweh, and you know, what has been happening in our families, in our lives, and just celebrating, offering, and you know, just giving him praise. Must have been such a wonderful time and a wonderful season, you know. And I think that the people, when their hearts were in the right place, must have really looked forward to that time period. And even though we are in this time period now, I pray that it's really been a blessing to each of you, that every day I know that Abba Father shows up and he does something new in all of our lives. And that's just the beauty and how it is of serving him. So I pray that your feast has been really great, and that the season of feasts have been really great to you as well. You know, just, you know, as we go through them every year, we know everything looks different each year. And I pray that next year, as we always say, that we will be all together, and how wonderful that would be. Yosef, welcome to you as well this evening to the Restoration Hour. I know that there is a lot on your heart to share with us during this time, and we are so looking forward to that.
Amen. You know, Leah, it's great to be back always on the Restoration Hour. It's always great to be able to share around Yahweh's word. And I really do believe this evening that, you know, the message that the Father has for us is one that I believe applies to every single one of us, no matter where we are at in our lives, no matter where we are at in this journey. And I think that so often we always want to hear, you know, the messages that encourage, and there is a time for that. You know, the scriptures say there's a time and a season for everything, but there's also a time and a season where we need to be challenged, where we need to be challenged in our faith walk, in our walk with the Father. And we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, am I ready? If Yeshua came today, you know, we've always heard that, you know, pastors preaching, you know, these sermons about, you know, hell and fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we're celebrating Sukkot, and it's the time where we are to fellowship. You know, we've entered in, and it's the 7-day celebration where we are to be fellowshipping. And then, you know, we have the last great day where it's about, you know, the new heaven and the new earth. Mm-hmm. But the question is, if Yeshua, if this was the year, this year, 2021, if this happened to have been the year that Yeshua returned, how many people who profess him with their mouths would truly have been found worthy to be entering into his sanctuary? How many people can really say with a conscience and with a clear mind, you know what, I've done everything that I believe I was created to do. I've fulfilled the tasks that he has given me. I've done what he has asked me to do in this life. How many of us can really say with a clear mind, you know what, I have produced fruit for my king, and I'm not lacking. You know, there is this thing that we need to understand, that, and we've said it so many times, Yeshua is looking for a man or a woman who has a heart that has a harvest full of fruit. And you know, so many people say, you know, but what does that mean? What does it mean to have fruit? What does it mean to have a harvest in your heart? You know, what do you mean by that? Some people struggle to understand, you know, the concept of fruit growing with inside of you, that it's not a fruit that, you know, it's not something, you're not a tree and someone's going to come and pluck you. It's a spiritual concept. So the scriptures tell us that we are to produce fruit. and that our fruit needs to remain. Just as we are supposed to remain in Messiah Yeshua, so our fruit has to remain. And fruit, unfortunately, it has time seasons, and it has seasons where there is fruit that's going to be wholesome, and then there's going to be times where the fruit is going to be falling off the tree and we get ready for the next season. Mm-hmm. So Yahweh, in his wonderful, amazing grace, has given us all these festivals so that we can be, as it says, and we're going to talk about that this evening, like Psalm 1 says, a tree planted beside streams of living water that bears fruit. We have to be bearing fruit, but we need to understand what that fruit is, and we need to understand what does it mean for us now. You know, we've spoken, I think, consistently on how important it is to mature. And I cannot stress that fact that now more than ever, Yeshua is looking for people that have the ripe fruit. Right fruit and ripe fruit. But more than that, what are you going to do with what you have been given? You know, and I'm going to touch on a scripture this evening where Yeshua speaks to the Pharisees and says to them, you know what, hey, because you have placed so many burdens on my people, because you have taken this word of truth and you have twisted it, you have bent it, you have added on so many things, the reign, the kingdom of Yahweh is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits thereof. Mm. And we know that he was talking specifically there to the Jewish people, and he was saying to them, you know what, because I've given you this great, wonderful truth and you have done nothing with it in the sense that you should have, you know, you haven't progressed, you haven't accepted me, you're rejecting me, you're adding all this stuff on that you shouldn't be, I'm going to give it to another nation, a nation that is seeking me, a people who is going to take it and they're going to run with it. And we know what happens in the scriptures. So the concept this evening that I want to ask you is this: what happens if the same thing or the same concept that Yeshua was saying to those Pharisees applies to us? Year in and year out, he's looking for a person who has a harvest in their heart. What is going to happen when we stand before him one day and he says, you know what? He says to those on his right, well done, my good and faithful servant. And to those on his left, he says, you know what? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Mm. You were asked consecutively over and over and over to produce fruit inside your heart, inside your life, fruit that remains. I brought you people along your path over and over to help you understand what it means, but you rejected them. You turned away from them. You didn't want to listen. And there is this truth that we need to understand between what it means to be a follower of Messiah Yeshua, and we've spoken also about this, and what it means to be a disciple. But then in between of all of this, we have this middle ground where people tend to lean over to what I call religiousness. And Yeshua was combating that in his day consecutively over and over and over. And he was saying to them, you know what? You need to stop this. You need to stop being a religious people and become a godly people, a people that I've called by my name from the very beginning, a kingdom of priests and a chosen generation, a people bearing this fruit. So I want to pray before we start, and then I want to read a couple of scriptures, and I want to get into this because we've heard it before. I've heard so many sermons about, you know, you have to have fruit. But what does that actually mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? Is it just the fruits of the Spirit, or is it more? And you know what? We cannot say to ourselves, I want to say this, Esteemi, I want to say it from myself. You know, I've come to realize in this walk, there are times where things are good. There are times where my character is polished, where my character is shining, where my character is on the right path. But then there are times where things happen in life and I dip and I go down and my character is taking a knock left, right, and center. So there are times in life, seasons, where you go up and where you go down. But the question is, at the end of all the knocks, in the end of all these ups and downs, in the end of all the struggles, all the hardships, all the things that have happened in your life, has a refinement taken place that can produce, as Yeshua says, the gold that is refined by him? Is there gold being produced in your life? And if there is, what are you doing with the gold that you've been given? What are you doing with the fruit in your life?
You know, what's also interesting, Yosef, is like you said, there's so many, you know, sermons that one hears about producing fruit. And I remember always thinking often when hearing those kinds of sermons and things, I always remember thinking, well, what does that fruit look like? Because to be honest, that's a very abstract, you know, concept. is very much interpretive. So to me, fruit can look a certain way. To you, fruit can look a certain way. So to you, it could be, you know, whatever. It could be, well, maybe your issue in life, someone's issue is that they are led to get angry, you know. So then their fruit that they want to try and bear is, you know, long suffering and patience and more of those kind of things. But to me, you know, I may not have those struggles. So to me, fruit looks like just obedience. You know, I want to get to holiness. I want to get to, you know, right living. And so it becomes very, very abstract. And I think it's so important for us to also know that there are, you know, real concrete realities. You know, it's not just, oh, you know, this that kind of fruit for you and this kind of fruit for me. Surely, you know, when Yeshua says this, he is saying there's specific things that you need to bear in your life. There's specific fruit. You know, just like he says when he returns, he's not going to, that scripture that says, you know, when I return or when he returns, will he find faith? It doesn't say that. It says, will he find the faith? It's specific kind of faith, a specific kind of truth. And I definitely believe that this is a specific kind of fruit. And again, someone might put up their hand and go, yes, 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 this is the kind of fruit he's talking about. But again, that is interpretive, right? So what is the scripture actually saying to us when it comes down to fruit? What is this fruit? You know, can we nail it down and say, this is exactly what the fruit is?
Amen. You know, I think that the point that you're making is valid in so many different perspectives. And the reason why is because, like you said, so many people look at it, those in the church will say, well, the fruits are the fruits of the Spirit. Hmm. But if we read what Yeshua says, he says, if you obey and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A true disciple is someone who keeps my commandments, and a true disciple is someone that bears fruit and their fruit remains. So there has to be this understanding of what is the fruit that he's talking about, because at the same time he says we must have the fruits of the Spirit. But in another instance, he's talking about the fruits that come from the character that is found within the Torah, which is originally from where? From Yahweh the Father. His character, his will, his favor, his understanding that comes through his Torah is what places the foundation of the fruit that you will have. And you know, the Torah doesn't just talk about love, joy, peace. It talks about everything. It talks about mercy, how you're supposed to live with your neighbor, how you're supposed to treat somebody. It talks about all these things. So it's got to do, and I think that's where the fine line comes in between understanding that it's not just having the fruits of the Spirit so that we can replace the things of the flesh, because that's how we've been taught. So we've been taught, well, you know what, I need to have more of Yahweh's Spirit so that I can get rid of things of my flesh. But the truth says, Yahweh says himself, and Yeshua says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you want and these things shall be granted unto you. That doesn't mean that you can ask for a new house, a new car, whenever you feel like it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying these words of Torah, the words of my Father, because he only spoke what his Father told him to. So he's speaking the living, true words found in the Torah. And he's speaking everything that he says, every commandment that he gives to his disciples is given to him by his Father. So the foundation of the fruit that we are supposed to bear is found again, and it takes us back to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed are those who do, and he's talking about what? The law of Yahweh. Yahweh's Torah, his commandments, his instructions is the foundation of, or the soil, if I have to put it that way, to which our roots have to be born in. It has to be put in, and then we have to grow. We have to be rooted into Messiah Yeshua, who is that source of life. He is the Word made flesh. So if we rooted in him and his word abides in us, then we will bear the fruit, the right fruit, not just the fruit that we're trying to, how do I say, trying to have so that we don't have a fleshly life. If you have the right foundation and you're walking in Yahweh's instructions, the difference between the holy and the profane, you will not walk by your flesh, but you'll walk according to the Spirit of Yahweh. And you'll do it because you'll have a foundation that is solid, not one that is flimsy. Mm-hmm. So let's pray, and then let's get into some of these scriptures. Father, we want to thank you this evening that Yahweh, throughout the ages, Father, you have called upon us to be holy, righteous, and upright. You have called us, Father, to be people who bear much fruit. And Father, the reason why you want us to bear much fruit is so that the world out there will know that we belong to you. Mm-hmm. So that our character, our will, our very image, Father, is no longer Yosef or Aaliyah or whoever we might be. But Father, that our character, our image is a reflection of you, so that we can become that bride that the world needs to know. The bride, as it says in the book of Ephesians, through whom the very wisdom, authority, and and power of the heavenly realms will be displayed through. And Father, if we are to be in you, then we need to be rooted in you every single day. We have to abide in Yeshua, as your word says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask. Father, then we don't ask according to our will or character or our flawed perspective, Father, but we ask according to the will and character of our Father that is found according to your word. And Father, by doing that, we take off those garments. Father, we take off those garments of unrighteousness and we put on garments of holiness, righteousness, and purity. And by doing that, Father, we are in essence making ourselves ready, as it says in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, it says this: let us rejoice, be happy, and give him glory, because it's time for the marriage of the Lamb. His bride has made herself ready. She has been given the privilege of wearing dazzling pure linen, fine linen, which represents the things that Yahweh's holy people do that have his approval. Then the angel said to me, write this: blessed are those who are invited to the Lamb's wedding banquet. And he also told me, these are the true words of Elohim. Father, we thank you and we pray for this time in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know what I love about that scripture in Revelation 19? It says the bride has made herself ready. Mm-hmm. And I love that because, you know what? I saw again, you know, a post that someone shared that said, you know, Jesus has made us righteous. He's done everything for us. You know, he's done this, he's done that. And it's kind of just like there is this belief that, you know, Yeshua came and he did everything. Yes, you know, he accomplished all of these things. We know that. But yet there's this belief and a theology that teaches he's done everything. And, you know, I don't have to do that much. You know, I just have to do what is perceived as good, you know, and that is very, again, just all over the place. But the bride has made herself ready. We have a mandate, and that mandate is to walk in holiness, and it is to spiritually mature, and it is to, you know, walk in the righteousness Yeshua has given us, but also to be righteous people, righteous individuals before him, and to really, really pursue him, and to be perfect as he is perfect. And those are high standards. Those are high goals, but it's not impossible. It comes down to, again, you know, really, really looking at ourselves and being honest, which is pretty tough for some people to do because they lack the tools, they lack the skills. And I want to say that on a very practical level, you know, I know that this was a conversation that you and I were having about a week ago. You know, I've met a lot of people in life who just lack the tools and the skills to be able to deal with their trauma or their woundedness or the pain or their illegitimacy or their father wounds, their mother wounds, their orphan spirit, their abandonment, the abuse they've suffered, all of these things. And it's not because, you know, that that's a bad person or an immature person. It's just that, you know, your childhood raises you a certain way. And sometimes because of neglect and abandonment and abuse, you're just not as individual. Some individuals are not taught those skills. And so that is why someone who has walked that journey before them needs to come alongside them and empower them to be able to have tools and skills to be able to overcome that woundedness. You know, Yosef, I've seen so many people stand up and do things for Yeshua and be able to preach or do street evangelism or share the word or teach Torah even, but are so wholly broken people. When I say holy, I don't mean holy set apart. I mean holy set apart in this brokenness, you know. It's not like a holiness. It's just really broken. And it's because they don't know how to get to the bottom of that. And you can only truly make yourself ready as this pure bride if you're willing to travel deep down and deal with a lot of things within yourself. Not just speak the religious jargon, but be able to walk a deep walk. There was something that your principal said many years ago at your graduation, which was about, 11 years ago, that he said that always impacted me, and you probably won't even remember it, but he said that, you know, in life, those who go through hardships and hard times, if they go through it, truly, truly go into the depths of themselves with the Father, they will come out with a fragrance that's unlike any other, and they will carry that to the world. And that is truly what we need to do as well, to bear the good fruit. Our fruit can be held back because of the fatherlessness that we face, or the illegitimacy that we have, or the pride that exists in people's hearts, because at the root of it, they're still looking for, you know, affirmation from others and their sense of identity or purpose. And all of those things come out, and we have to be able to get real with the Father in order to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear, and in order to bring him a harvest. We've got to not only be able to, you know, just talk the talk, we've got to be able to walk this deep journey. And I think that was the essence of what David did as well. It wasn't just repentance. We look at it and we go, David committed the sin, he took Bathsheba, and there was this whole adultery and then this murder, and then Nathan calls him out and he repents. It wasn't just about repentance, it was that he was willing to deal with his heart. He never ever committed that sin that he committed ever again. He never ever went to those depths again of, you know, lust and all of those horrible things. That was truly repentance. And I believe that what we didn't see was the journey he walked towards possibly a healing that he needed to have within himself. Yes, he was tarrying, you know, so there was a bit of laziness happening there. He needed to deal with that. Why was he there? Why? You know, all of those things. And I think that when we journey deeply within ourselves and we start uprooting the things that we've been through and start allowing Yeshua to heal those places and also undo those thoughts that we are trapped in our minds, that's why that renewing of our mind is so important. We can then also begin to bear the fruit, because our woundedness is the weeds as well that chokes it up, because then we're just seeking people's approval, or we're seeking, you know, worldly things that will never ever satisfy. We need to allow the character change to happen, but it has to be when we want it to happen. Yeshua's not just going to come in and be like, I'm going to root all this out of you, but you've never asked him to. He wants to go to those depths, but you have to be like, hey, I want to go to those depths. And sometimes when people do that, they feel incredibly empty as they go through that process, because their, you know, their woundedness has defined them. It has brought them attention. It has made them acceptable in certain places. It has brought them friendships and comforts and things that just gratify the woundedness, and then they begin to feel empty. But that is not necessarily a bad thing. It's where we need to be for that fruit to begin to flow.
You know, Leah, that point that you made now is actually the crux of everything that Yeshua says to his disciples in another passage of scripture. And I think that is what we struggle with as believers, as people in Messiah Yeshua, is to allow the gardener, the one who is supposed to come and prune our trees. You know, when you prune a tree, it's for the purpose, and I'm going to read it to you now, it's for the purpose of it to be able to grow and to produce even better fruit and have better flowers, better produce, making it look better. But it takes someone, like you said, the gardener, which is the Father, to come along and to prune that tree. And it takes us as believers to remain in Yeshua. You see, if we do not remain in Yeshua, then we are not part of that vine. And if we're not part of the vine, the Father can't prune us. And if the Father can't prune us, we are just going to be dead people. And then those that he doesn't want to prune, it says he just cuts off and he throws it away, every dead branch. So when we are dead, we are not in the vine. And if we're not in the vine, we're not allowing him to introspect us. And you know, Paul, you know, the scriptures is amazing, because we read scriptures sometimes, you know, we open the Bible and we read here and there, and we get an idea. But the truth of the matter is that when you look at what the disciples taught, when you look at what Yeshua taught, and what you look at what Paul taught, it's all the same thing. Mm. Paul talks consecutively and over and over and over. He says, you know what, I want you to examine yourself. I want you to look. We have been called, and that's why it says, you know, you'll know a false prophet by what? By the fruits that they bear. So as believers in Messiah Yeshua, it is our duty to be fruit inspectors. We're supposed to be inspecting the fruit of the people we come into contact with. And if you do not see fruit, godly fruit, in another person's life, you have to question, should I be friends with that person? Should I associate with them? And it is imperative that we see that fruit. Even if it's, you know, leaders and people in that's being placed over us, it's important. The scripture says, you will know a false teacher or prophet by their fruits. So by the fruits that we bear, by the things that we do and the things that we say and how we say it and how we interact and how we pray, people will be able to know whether this person, you know, is cut from the same tree, if I have to put it like that, cut from the same branch. Yeah. Are they part of the flock? Are they part of the people of Yahweh? So there's one thing I want to say this evening before I give this point about what it actually means to prune. One thing is this. We need to remember something. Many people are called, but few are chosen. Mm. So the ones that are chosen, the ones that are chosen by Yahweh, I really do believe that, you know, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that says that, you know, like a farmer goes goes out with a sickle, so I do believe that Yahweh is going to reap his children. Yeshua is going to reap his children with a sickle. It's like a farmer goes out looking for that barley and he cuts it. The same is going to apply for those that he chooses. He chooses you because you chose him and because you chose to change your life. You didn't just sit back. And there's a problem, Aaliyah, in the body. So many people have that idea of once saved, always saved. They have that idea of I can sit back, I can just allow whatever happens to happen and I don't have to do more. It's not a thing of the grace of Yahweh is being taken away when you do what is commanded in the word of Yahweh. When you do, it is obedience. Your faith is put into action and it's obedience. It's not a works-based faith, it's an obedient faith. The other thing is this, you know, so many people say this and I've heard it over and over. You know, we sing those songs and we pray the prayers and we say, you know what, Yahweh, take me into your inner court. I want to go in to the Holy of Holies. I want to go in to the place where you are. But in reality, we sing songs that we have absolutely no idea of what we're actually asking. And then when we want the presence of Yahweh, but we are not willing, and I'm going to say it like this, we are not willing to cultivate that deep relationship that will cost you something. That deep relationship that will cost you something that will cause you to get to the point where you experience that intimate relationship with Yahweh. And I said it a couple of weeks ago. So many of us are happy to be at the bottom level of the penthouse building. We live our lives, most of our days, down in the bottom. And now and again, when things are good, or we go to a camp, or we have an intimate experience with the Father, where somebody gives us a word or tells us something, we tend to jump up to that penthouse. And we're there for maybe a day, a week, a month. But then when things get difficult, we don't tend to put our roots deep into Yeshua. We kind of stick our arms out into the world and try to catch what we can. And we drop back down.
Sure, that's so true. I love what you just said about that. Take me into the Holy of Holies. There's a wonderful song like that, actually. But again, it makes me think of how, you know, the high priest could only go in there once a year in Yom Kippur. And if he was fined with sin, he would just literally die in the presence of Yahweh. Yes, we know that we have Yeshua today, but still, we can't go rushing in to that place. You know, there's just no ways. It baffles me. It's incredible. But you know what, Yosef, we need to go to our first song of the evening. So we're going to play you a really cool song by Jeremy Camp called What Love Has Done. Enjoy it. And we will continue when we get back.
I was afraid, hiding my face. I was looking for peace in desolate places. I couldn't see the walls around me. Had me stuck in the cage that I thought was freedom. Stumbling through this life till you opened up my eyes. Look what love has done. Every heartache and shame has been overcome. Changing me. Whoa! Look at what love has done. Oh! Look at what love has done. It was the pain that gave you the space to tear down the walls and make a new way. Out of the grave and out of the cold, claiming my heart forever is yours. You gave your life for mine. Opened up my eyes. Look what love has done. Every heartache and shame has been overcome. Look what love can bring. In the pressing and waiting, you're changing me. In the pressing and waiting, you're changing me. Whoa! Look at what love has done. Around the place I'm standing now has become holy ground.
What a cool song. And you know what? I'm so jealous of Debbie Sucker. Debbie, I am so jealous of your Sucker because this year, with us having moved, we did not get to put a Sucker up because we actually gave away our Sucker, our structure of our Sucker, and then suddenly realized that we didn't have one. So I'm really jealous. So next year we're coming to your Sucker, Debbie, and then we're doing Restoration Hour, all from Debbie and Darby's Sucker. You know what? I hope that for those of you who have had a Sucker this year, that it's been truly a blessing. It's been truly amazing. And, you know, having a Sucker is so special. I remember putting it up year after year after year after year and just really having people over and just celebrating inside that Sucker and just fellowshipping. And it's just such an incredible, beautiful thing to do. And if you have one, I hope that you're enjoying it this year so much. You know what? I really like that song, Yosef, from Jeremy Camp's new album, although I'm not a huge fan of him. That is such a beautiful, beautiful song. And he also talks a lot there about, you know, the Father working in us and while we're waiting, him, you know, working things out and pruning us. And that's the other part of, you know, bearing fruit. There are going to be seasons where the fruit is going to be born in relationships with others. There's going to be seasons where the fruit is going to be brought forth in, you know, solitude and aloneness, in, you know, counseling or no counseling. Seasons where it's going to be in community or where sometimes you're going to be on your own. And I think that this year I've heard a lot of people say that it's been such an individual walk this year because of, and last year because of the way that we know COVID has been and people are all on their own, but different kinds of fruit has formed in people's lives and different people have journeyed through so many things, uncovering. It's almost like the Father's doing a great awakening of uncovering, like we said, these things, these woundedness and these things that have been so deep inside of people that can so easily be covered over when you fellowshipping or when you, you know, going to different things. That now that we are on our own, often we have to face this past of ourselves that Yahweh wants to bring us to, which is so beautiful because it shows He's always just in control of our lives and He will use everything to do His work and purpose in us. And that's something so beautiful as well. But you know what? Fruit and pruning, you know, Yosef, I get scared to prune my flowers simply because I've never done it before. But pruning is so necessary because with flowers, we know even with plants, there is a process of death and sort of revival and rebirth. It's not that the whole plant dies, but parts of it will die and shed. And you've got to actually help it along by pruning and removing that. Not so. Isn't that the same how it is with the Father?
Amen. You know, Leah, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever seen a tree prune itself?
If only it would. No, never.
So imagine if we were pruning ourselves. You see, I think that we often think that we can prune ourselves. But what the scripture says, and like I told you, Paul says examine and test to see if you're in the faith. And how we examine and test is not by someone else or another believer or somebody else that we look at and say, well, you know, they got it all together, so I need to live like them. Because the truth of the matter is that in the quietness, in the solitude, in the places of their home, that person might not be living the life that we think. So we tend to evaluate our lives based on what we see in the lives of others. And that's not what Paul means. Paul says that you need to test and prove according to Yahweh's instructions, according to his Torah. At that time, there was no New Testament. So what he's saying is test and prove according to the Torah of Yahweh. If you are living according to the instructions and guidelines of Yahweh, then you are living a righteous life. If you are not, then you are living an unrighteous life. And if you fall short, there is grace for you, but you need to ask for that grace. That's what he's implying. And he's saying that it's a constant thing. You need to test test and prove continually to see, am I actually in the true faith? Am I walking this out? And if you're not, and if you're struggling, and if there are things in your life, you can't prune yourself. Yeah. I cannot get inside of my spirit and deal with those things. I can pray and ask the gardener, or I can, and a better way of putting this is, you know, we talk about trees and we talk about, you know, all these things. But another way to understand this is that when we don't understand the purpose for which we were created for, or that a thing wasn't created for, you'll go back to the manufacturer. And the same thing applies here. You are a tree that has been kind of bought by Yahweh. You're part of his family. His root put you in and you're rooted. But now, in order for you to be cultivated, you have to go to the gardener, and the gardener knows what's best. He knows which branches to cut off and which ones not. So he prunes us. And that's why throughout scripture we read about this. He does it not because, you know, he wants to hurt you. It seems like a painful thing because you're cutting something off. But in the end, it's because he loves us. He loves us so much that he prunes us, and he wants us to be better. And you know, when you look at the definition of pruning, it says this, is defined in the following way. It's a horticultural, subcultural practice involving the selective removal of parts of a plant, such as branches, buds, or roots. And the reasons to prune plants include deadwood removal, shaping. Now look at what it says. It says shaping by controlling or directing growth, improving or maintaining health, reducing risk from falling branches, preparing nursery specimens for transplanting, and it goes on. And then it says about diseases and damages. You know, we have so much issues as human beings in our hearts and in our lives, things that we pick up, and when we get saved, we don't necessarily deal with those things. We tend to, you know, put them aside. But Yahweh wants us, as we grow with him, as we as the tree grow, he wants to deal with those things so that we can produce fruit every season and produce fruit that is worthy of a harvest. So he wants us to be pruned, and he wants us to allow him to prune us. He wants a bride. That's the whole purpose of why he does this. He wants a bride that is spotless. He wants a bride that is ready. He wants a bride that can carry the weight of his glory in a generation that is so dark, so messed up, and so perverse, that he wants us to understand that when we allow him in. You know, Aaliyah, there's another passage of scripture that I want to share briefly this evening, and I think it will explain this concept better. It's the scripture that I started with, where Yeshua is talking to the Pharisees, and I want to read you this whole scripture. I did it in a previous teaching, but I want to just read this to you so that you get an understanding. He says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain man, a householder, who planted a vineyard and placed a hedge around it, and dug a winepress in it and built a watchtower. And he leased it to farmers and went abroad. And when the season of fruits drew near, he sent his servants to the farmers to receive its fruit. And the farmers took his servants and beat one, and they killed one and stoned another. Again he sent servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. And at the last he sent his son to them, saying, 'They shall respect my son.' But when the farmers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us possess his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the master of the vineyard comes, what shall he do to those farmers? Then they said to him, 'Evil ones, he shall bring them to evil destruction, and lease the vineyard to other farmers, who shall give to him the fruits in their seasons.' And Yeshua said to them, 'Do you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was from Yahweh, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And because of this, I say to you, the reign of Elohim shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. And he who falls on the stone shall be broken, but on whomever it falls shall be pulverized.'" Now it goes on and it talks about something else. And I know, like I said when we began this passage of scripture, he's talking about the Pharisees, and he's talking about, you know, the fact that the reign, the kingdom, was going to be taken from them and given to the Gentiles, and they were going to go and produce fruit worthy of the calling that they were called to. But it applies to us as well, in the concept of, like you said, we have so many issues in our own lives. And there are so many things that prevent us from producing the fruit that we need to produce. And you know, there's a part of this scripture where it says Yeshua is that stone. He's the one that either falls on you or you fall on him. And you know, so many people don't understand really what that's actually talking about. It's talking about the fact that Yeshua, if we are not for him, then we are against him. And if you're against him, then he will fall upon you and you will be pulverized. In the end of days, you will be deemed to destruction. But if we fall wholeheartedly, 100% with all our heart, all our mind, every single hurt, every single pain, every single place in our hearts where there's weeds, where there's issues, where there's things that we don't understand, and we fall upon him with a brokenness upon that stone, he says that he is faithful and just to open us up, to show us the places in our lives where we need deliverance, where we need help, where we need freedom, where he comes in and he literally takes those roots and he removes them out of our lives. And it's dependent. This is what the whole thing is about. Continually that we are broken before our King. And broken doesn't mean that you go around crying and you're broken and you never have it all together. But when you are broken in a spiritual sense, you are no longer holding on to the things of this world. You're no longer holding on to your pride, your bad character, your incorrect way of seeing love, of seeing a father, your incorrect way of seeing the spirit of Yahweh, or the incorrect way of being a child, a legitimate child in his kingdom. You are then literally saying, you know what, Father, I fall upon you in surrender. I allow you to build me up. I allow you to change me. I allow you to prune me. I allow you to come and check my roots. Check and see if I'm really in the faith. Come and check and see if I'm really walking in the way that you want. Come and help me so that my tree can grow, so that I can be, as it says in Psalm 1, a tree planted beside streams of living water that bears fruit in and out of season. And that fruit, you know, in Revelation, it talks about the fruit of those trees that will be used as medicine to the nations. Mm-hmm. What we have, the things that Yahweh has given us, the giftings, the talents, the spirit of Yahweh that lives within you, the abilities, the natural abilities, all these things have been used and given to us so that we can be a vessel of honor and glory for him. But he's talking here to the Pharisees and he's saying to them, because you did nothing with what I gave you, and you would add on things on people, and you taught people half-truths, this truth of my kingdom, this valuable insight and knowledge that I've given you, and the power that comes with it, is going to be taken away from you. You know, the same thing applies to the Pharisees and applies to us. If we are not going to work with what Yahweh has given us, if you are not going to allow the Father to prune that tree, and you're not going to work with the fruit and the talents and the giftings that he's given you, it could be that exactly like he says here, that he takes it away and gives to another. One talent, two talents, three talents. Remember that story? It's up to us to be people that use what the Father has given us.
You know, there's a scripture that I absolutely love, and it's found in Philippians 2, verse 13, and it says the following, Yosef, and I think it's so powerful, because sometimes it's like you said earlier on, you know, a tree doesn't prune itself, and the garden has to come and prune it. But also, when we talk about using everything that we have and bearing the fruit thereof, we know that we don't do that on our own. And it's so, so incredible to consider Philippians 2, verse 13, which says, "For it is not your strength, but it is Yahweh who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure." How is that? You know, we have a God that has given us everything. He saves us. And, you know, when he created us, knit us together in our mother's womb, he gave us a unique identity, each as individuals. And also he gave us a unique purpose. And when we say that, you know, I have a purpose that only I can fulfill in my life, you have a purpose that only you can fulfill because you are uniquely gifted and created to fulfill that, that is really the truth. And that is really, really true. You know, you could have two people that both are singers, or two people that both write music, or, you know, two people that both preach the word, two people that write books, whatever. But even though what they do seems similar, it is not similar at all. Even on the outside, as it looks the same, it's not the same at all, because inside only you can do what you've been created to do. And not only has our God saved us, not only does he redeem us and cleanse us and prune us, and he is absolutely at work in us to fulfill his purpose. So in effect, Yahweh is doing everything. We've really, really just got to be obedient. We've got to work hard at the purpose he's given us, and then we've got to committed to him and say, Abba Father, help me. Help me fulfill the purposes that you've given me. He is at work in us, giving us the will, giving us the desire, giving us the strength, energizing us every single day when we can jump out of bed and be excited to fulfill his will on this earth. It is that energy that he gives us to be able to do his will and create, you know, what he wants us to give out that purpose in life. And he is absolutely doing it. So where we feel maybe that we lack, you know, we can ask him to help us. Help me be able to do your will. You know, if we feel not energized, we can pray and go to him and say, why? You know, maybe I'm focused on the wrong thing. Maybe I'm giving all my gifts and talents to the wrong purpose. You know, maybe I'm doing it out of a wrong motive. You know, Abba Father, why am I not feeling energized to do what I'm doing? You know, maybe I just need to rest. Maybe I'm not supposed to be busy in this season. Whatever it may be, he wants to do that work in us to not only cleanse us and help us bring forth that fruit, but to also bring forth the fruit of a beautiful purpose and to leave that behind when we die. You know, people often say, you know, you shouldn't want to leave a legacy behind. It should all be about Yeshua. Yes. But you know, when Yeshua's disciples died, they left behind a legacy. And that legacy was to impact spiritual generations for generations to come. Our message, our preaching, our teaching, our lives should all be reflecting Yeshua, and what we do should impact so deeply in the spiritual realm that 100 years from now, the people who will come, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whomever they may be, our spiritual children, they should feel the impact 100 years from now of what we do today, because we still feel the impact of what Peter, John, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Junia, what all of them did in that time, 2,000 years ago, we still feel the impact of that. So I don't believe it should be, oh, don't leave something behind. Leave behind everything. Why are we given a purpose? To glorify Yeshua for what? To build his kingdom, which contains people. So in effect, our purpose is to impact people, and it is to create disciples, and it is to impact a body of people. And so today we can say that is fruit that we can bring forth. You know, when we are being pruned, when we are being created into that beautiful tree, what are we also going to do? Live a purpose that he creates in us and gives us the will, energy, and strength to perform.
Amen. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26, and it's actually, I'm taking it from the Geneva Study Bible because it puts it actually really in a way that we can understand. It says, they bring forth the fruits of the kingdom of Yahweh, who bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Mm. So if we are still double-minded, if we are still one foot in the world, one foot with Yahweh, if we are still uncertain of who we are, our identity in Messiah Yeshua, it's going to be very difficult for us to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. And that's why he says to these Pharisees, you see the underlying principle that he says to them, and what he's trying to say to us today, is if we are truly confessing him, if we are for him and not against him, if we really are saying that we are his children and we confess him with our mouths, but we are not producing fruit worthy of the kingdom, then we are in serious danger. Because a person who is for him and not against him, a person who is really rooted in Messiah Yeshua, will have fruit. Because the scriptures tell us, like we said, we will know them by their fruit. Mm. So if there's no fruit, then we have to ask ourselves the question, what is that person rooted in? And what are they doing? And why is there no fruit? And what's causing that? You know, there are a lot of people that walk around with a lot of head knowledge, a lot of understanding, a lot of you know, knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, the scripture says. And if we don't have the truth of Yahweh and we're not rooted in him, but we're rooted in everything else, we are not going to have that true fruit. And it's only the real fruit of Yahweh that changes the lives of people that are in need. We can give, you can go to a drug addict and you can tell them scripture after scripture after scripture, but if you do not have the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you do not have the character of Messiah Yeshua to actually physically help that person get out of the place that they're in, then all the scripture that you give them, all the Bibles that you want to lay on his lap or her lap, is not going to help them unless you're willing to go the extra mile smile like Yeshua was and say to them, come, get up, let me help you, let me take you to a place, let's get you the help that you need. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about, having that understanding that we have been given more than just this head knowledge. We have actually been given the power inside of us to not only pray for that person, but to also walk with him, to be a disciple that helps others in this world. There's another thing that I just want to touch on before we end this evening. And you know, the secret to producing fruit, like I said to you, and I want to say it to you again, is found in Matthew chapter 21, 44, where it says, and he who falls on this stone shall be broken, but whomever it falls shall be pulverized. In order for us to produce that real fruit that lasts, it's got to be a fact where the world and the past and everything that we held on to has to be broken. Mm-hmm. And it's a good breaking. It's a good breaking because Yahweh is the master builder and he knows exactly what brick goes where and he knows exactly how to build you. We tend to try to build ourselves and sometimes we see a brick there and we knock it down, or we see, you know, another brick there and we knock that down. And it takes years because we are pushing aside the work of the Father because we think we know best. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it's you know, a process, but in the end, the result is that you will have a character that has been refined by the Master. And it's our character, Zaliyah, that gets us into the place of the presence of Yahweh. It's our character that brings us before the great King. It's the character that we have inside of us and our hearts. The condition of your heart is what causes us to be able to stand in the presence of Yahweh. He sees straight through the things that you hold inside of your life. And so when your character, and this is the last thing that I want to say, is that, you know, so many people are called. So many people have been called by Yeshua, but they have failed in allowing him to refine their characters. Mm. So they go out and they do this, or they, you know, preach here, teach there, help this person, help that person, in a rush because they want to be, and there's nothing wrong with this, we want to be busy doing the things that the Father has called us to do because the time is running short. But there is no quick fix to this process. There is no quick way to get to where Yahweh wants you to be. Allow him to refine you. Moses, Elijah, Deborah, all the great men and women of the Bible that we read about went through a process of refinement. There was some of them 40 years, others of them 3 years. You know, some of them, you know, a couple of years where they were in a place where they were being refined and taught. And it wasn't just taught by someone else. They were being taught by the Spirit of Yahweh. And for some of us, that process is longer than others because the calling on your life has a very specific purpose. So allow Yahweh to prune you. Allow him to specifically take out what needs to be taken out and put in what needs to be taken in. Only he knows what you need.
Hmm. You know what, Joseph, that's, I think, so important as well, because sometimes works of Yahweh or the works that we do can just be a band-aid to hiding the things that actually need to be dealt with in you know, all of our lives. And so we got to make sure that the band-aid is pulled off. You know, it actually says that in the word. It says that you haven't properly tended to the wound. It says it in Isaiah that, you know, you need to actually tend properly to those wounds and you need to be healed deeply and not get, you know, all fixated on the things that you want to do, that you don't allow that restoration process to be there. This has been such a wonderful time. And I know that, you know, there's so much that you shared with us this evening, Yosef, as well, that I know that we need to reflect on and think really deeply about. And so, you know what, we're going to go to a song, and I pray that this song will really bless you. During this song, what we want to do is just take a few minutes just to think about all of these things. When we get back, you know, if there's people laid on our hearts this evening, we really want to pray for you. And so stick around, enjoy some Marty Goetz and Misha. And when we get back, we're definitely going to be praying for you.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Under his wings I find my comfort all through the night. I wait for you when dark.
convinced that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
For I'm convinced.
For I'm convinced.
Yes, I'm convinced.
Yes, I'm convinced that we are more than conquerors.
We are more.
Father, we want to thank you this evening that that word is true, Father, that we are more than conquerors through Messiah Yeshua. And Father, this evening I want to pray that we will take hold of those words, Father, and believe it. And Father, that we will allow you to prune us, to challenge us, Father, in this walk that we are in. And Father, to help us to examine our hearts, to see what is truly there. Father, to allow your Spirit to be like a fire, Father, that moves in and out of our hearts, in and out of our souls, in and out of our minds, Father, and just shows us, Father, on a daily basis, what is going on, Father, what is of you and what is not of you. Father, help us to remove the things that we struggle with and help us to allow you in to be the great physician, Father, who wants to come and help us and heal us, Father, from the inside out. Father, I believe that your love for us is so understanding, if I have to put it like that, Father, it is far surpassing any man's understanding. And Father, I believe this evening that you want us to understand, Father, how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how much you desire for us to be the people that are ready in this generation. So Father, my prayer this evening is for each and every person that is here, Father, that you will raise them up in this generation, Father, that they will surrender unto you on a daily basis, and Father, that we will become more and more transformed into the image of Messiah Yeshua. I pray, Father, that from out of this group of people, a true fired up remnant, Father, will be transformed and moving forward, Father, with you each and every day. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Father, that there are those here, Father, that do seek to make disciples. There are those here, Father, that do seek to be used by your kingdom and for your kingdom. So I pray, Father, that every person that is here, that they will align their will, Father, with your will, and allow you, Father, to lead them, to guide them, to show them the way forward in everything that they do. Father, we want to thank you this evening for Colleen and for her family, Father, that is getting better, for Mark, Father, that's doing great in the rehab. We also want to pray, Father, that as his wife will also go in, Father, that she too will receive, Father, what is needed, that this will not be a temporary fix, Father, but that it will be the beginning of a change, Father, in their lives, the beginning of a change of rehabilitation, Father, of a rehabilitated life, not just a season of going in and relapsing, but a season, Father, where they will go in and change and be changed, Father, and begin to live a life of freedom in you, Father, and we thank you for that. Father, we also just want to pray, Father, for every person, like I said, that has joined us this evening. I think of Darby, and I want to pray for you, brother, this evening as you begin your new job. I want to pray in the name of Yeshua that the Father will give you inside wisdom and knowledge. I thank you for your life, and I pray that as you continue to serve him, as you continue to seek him in the beauty of holiness, that he will lift you up, that he will empower you, that he will give you what you need for life and godliness, and that you will continue to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, and a person that is able to be influential in the spheres and in the places where he is situated, and able to be a light in a very, very dark world. And we thank you for your life. We thank you for your wife. We thank you for your family. We pray blessings upon you both. We pray that Yahweh will continue to grow you and prune you and continue to transform you. We see in both of your lives already such a transformation from many years ago, and how you have surrendered to him, and because you've surrendered to him, how he has shaped you, how he has filled you, and how the glory of Yahweh is upon both of you, and how that change has really rooted you to be the people that he has created you to be. And we are blessed by that. Father, I also want to pray this evening for Marilise. And I want to just say to you, Marilise, tonight, continue to run the race that is set before you with diligence, with perseverance. Run the race that is set before you. Stay in the lane that he has placed in front of you. Don't step to the left or to the right, but continue. Even when it takes a corner, even when you feel like you're running full speed and you can't see who's on your left and on your right and if they're going to pass you, Yahweh says, don't look to the one side or the other, but run in the lane that is set before you, and soon you will see the finish line. Soon you will see that place that you have to be at, and you will run through the banner. And when you do that, Yahweh says, I will add to you, I will give to you what is needed. I will place within your heart and in your life newness, freshness, new things, understanding, a depth of who I am will be revealed to you in the days and the seasons to come. You know, I also want to say to you, Marilise, that you have been faithful in the little. So Yahweh says, now become faithful in the much. Be faithful and a servant that serves me in spirit and in truth. I also feel like your hands, and I pray over your hands this evening. I pray that your hands will be used for the kingdom of Yahweh, that your hands will be transformed, renewed. I almost see like a skin falling off your hands, like an old person's hands just fading away, and your hands are becoming new, like a young person's skin. Your skin is new and transformed and radiant. And Yahweh says, I'm peeling off the old, and I'm going to allow your hands to be used for my kingdom and for my glory and for the purposes that I've created you. I know in my heart tonight, Marilise, that you have run this race and you're continuing to run it. It's not been easy. There's been many ups and many downs, but you've stayed the course. Even though sometimes you feel like, man, I'm falling apart. I feel like I'm being split into 1,000 pieces. Yahweh says, even though one of those pieces might go to the right and the other to the left, my hands can stretch far enough to take hold of every piece of you and put you back. It's almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen Mr. Elastic. I know it's a weird analogy, but his arms that stretch so far and his body that is so flexible and can move from one place to another. I almost feel like Yahweh has got you just like that, that no matter how far one part of you strays or goes into a distance, Yahweh's arms and his loving kindness is so faithful and so able to bring that piece back and fit you all together. He knows exactly what part goes where, even when you think that it's all shattered and there's no way to be put back together, Yahweh says, I know exactly every minuscule detail will be fitted and put back together. So I pray for you. I pray that Yahweh will bless you. I pray that Yahweh will keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Brother Brandon, I really feel tonight to pray for you and your family. And I really want to say to you, brother, that you too have run the race that has been set before you. Yahweh says that in your life, there has been many trials, many tribulations, but you have remained faithful and just to every single one. Everything that has come against you, you have committed it in prayer to Yahweh and you have grown. Brother, there is this, I just see a tree that has this tremendous tremendous trunk that is continuing to grow, and it's rooted, and no matter how many storms come, no matter how many people try to chop it down, there is no ways that they're going to be able to get through that tree trunk in record time. There's no way that they're going to be able to cut it down. And Yahweh says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Be the man that I've created you to be. Be filled with joy. I feel like there's times in your life where your joy gets kind of hijacked from you. And Yahweh says, I want to pour into you joy that overflows, joy that is new in the morning, joy that is from me, a fountain of joy in your life. I pray for you and your family and those in your immediate sphere, that when they see you and when they encounter you and when you speak, that every word that comes out of your mouth will be so fired up with the goodness and the mercy of Yahweh, that they will know that this is somebody that has had a transformation in the presence of the King. I also feel like you're a man of prayer, a person who loves to pray. And sometimes you don't always have the time maybe to spend like you want to. So I pray over you in the name of Yeshua that Yahweh will give you more time, more opportunity, that your day will be structured in such a way that you will find the time to pray. Because brother, when you pray, there is something that happens in the spiritual realm, and you need to pray. You need to pray, and you need to be the warrior that Yahweh has called you to be. So I pray for you and your family and your loved ones that you will be strengthened in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you so much this evening that you love us, Father, that you are with us, Father, like a mighty warrior. And Father, we know that we just place our hands into your hands this evening. And I want to say thank you so much for each and every single person that is here. Father, bless them, keep them, make your incredible face to shine upon them, Father. And as we go out into a new week, Father, may this be a week that you lead and guide our footsteps. Father, lead and guide every single thing that we do. Father, lead us, guide us, and work in us to do your good will. Father, let your will be done in our lives. May we bring forth fruit worthy of the kingdom. Father, I pray that we will still receive from you in this festival time over the next few days. And Father, that we will just be refreshed, revived, strengthened. And we thank you for this, Father. We give you all the glory, all the praise tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Amen.
We want to say thank you so much for joining us on the Restoration Hour. It's been so wonderful to be with each and every single one of you. And so may your festival still be super, super blessed over the next few days. And may Yahweh just really keep all of you. So we'll see you again next week. Take care and shalom, shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
My Savior in the darkest valley, my Shepherd in the open pasture, my Leader for the path before me, my Father when I don't know the answers. Surrendering is easy when it comes to you. I was made to love you, it's the least that I can do. Here's my life, no hesitations, so deserving of it all. I am throwing you in the center, you're all that I'm after. You're all that